The following was at Rock Springs Church the first Sunday in March, 1967.
Jesus, our Son, our God. Page 120. Last hymn on page 152, hungry, faint, and poor, behold us, Lord, again assembled at thy mercy's door, thy bounty to obtain. Thy word commands us nigh, or we must starve indeed. For we no money have to buy, no righteousness to please. The food our spirits want to thy hand alone can give. Oh, hear the prayer of faith, and grant that we may eat and live. Page 152.
Thank you.
to read a portion of the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning at the 58th verse and leading to the end of the chapter. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he talked in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. That's in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. We look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we hope that we're thankful that thou hast led a few of thy believing people onto this place this morning, where that we know that in days past, for many years past, the prayer has been wont to be made. And where sometimes we know that thou hast poured out thy Spirit in our hearts. And our brethren have told us of thy mercy and thy grace unto them in the days before our time here. But we do feel to realize of the truth that sometimes, Father, and when we have been brought together here, that thou hast so blessed us that we have been made to forget our trials and troubles, the things which concern us so much, give us so much trouble here in this natural life. And by faith thou hast enabled us to look beyond life and beyond death, beyond the grave, and to rejoice in the hope, and rejoice in the assurance of those wonderful and glorious things that thou hast prepared for those that love thee. If we're not deceived, O Lord, thou hast done great things for us. Thou hast brought us out of great darkness, the darkness that we were in, which darkness we know that the whole world lies in today, but the darkness that we were in, and thou didst bring us out of that darkness, and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. For if we are not deceived also, thou who hast commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of his Son. No, Lord, therefore, as we come together, we trust and we feel that our whole desire is to worship thee, and to praise, and to exalt, and to adore thy great and holy name. Because we have nothing of our own, only what thou hast given us, we realize, only what thou hast given us do we have. But, O Lord, we realize that thou art the Spirit, and no one has ever been able to worship thee any other way than in spirit and in truth. And therefore, as we come, we pray thee, if it is thy will, to pour out thy Spirit in our hearts, that we may be lifted up for a little while and be able to worship thee in this Spirit. We know from our past experiences that we're not able to command thy Spirit, We're not able to bring ourselves into this spirit, but we stand, O Lord, failing to realize how helpless we are of ourselves. But we oft times are made to stand still, as thy people were as they stood before the Red Sea. They had to stand still to see thy salvation. And, O Lord, if it is thy will, therefore, to take us, as it were, into thy care and keeping this morning, and to enable us to worship and to praise and exalt thy name. Now, Lord, thou knowest what we each one stand in need of, and thou dost not need that we should tell thee anything or try to acquaint thee with anything, because thou knowest all things, and thou doest all things according to thy will. We realize that thou art everywhere present, nowhere absent. Thou dost fill the immensity of space, and therefore, O gracious God, we are made to be more, yes, far more than willing to leave ourselves in thy hands where we are and not to try to climb up some other way. Gracious and heavenly Father, wilt thou remember we that that are bowed here this morning in thy presence, that thou wouldst give to us such as thou knowest we stand in need of, and if we stand in need of trials and troubles in order to bring us to realize our dependence upon thee, wilt thou give us grace that we might run the race with patience that is set before us, ever looking to thee, who art the author and the finish of our faith, and that we might joy in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience hope, and hope experience, and all of these things, that we might realize full well that our God is the giver of everything that we have, that we have nothing either in nature are in the spirit of our God, but what we have is a gracious gift from thee. Give us hearts, therefore, O Lord, of thankfulness unto thee, and enable us, therefore, to walk softly before thee, before the world, and before thy people. Walk softly that our conversation and our walk and all that we have about us as we appear before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our God which is in heaven. May we be zealous, gracious Father, of thy name, praise, honor, and glory. And we shall not follow after every wind of doctrine, but that we might by thy grace be stayed upon the truth as it is in Jesus. And therefore, O Lord, contend earnestly for the faith that thou hast once delivered to thy people. Wilt thou not only remember these that are here this morning, but thy people, wherever they may be, as they're gathered together in their stated places of worship, or wherever they may be gathered together. And it seems good to thee, Lord, to pour out thy spirit in their hearts, for they need thy grace and thy mercy and thy spirit as much as we need it before they can worship thee. So wilt thou be with them, and be with thy people everywhere, and then when we come to the hour of death, to stand by us in that hour of death. And so give us to thy presence, thy cup presence, that we shall not be afraid to go hence, but rather come solemnly, meekly, and humbly before our God, and enjoy that we shall soon be with thee, be like thee, and be satisfied. Lord, be with us all the way, and may thy name have all the praise forever and ever. Amen. As I awoke this morning, or about the time, the first thing I can remember after I woke, one little verse of this scripture came into my mind. When it said, and from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, would ye also go away? That one verse. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Came into my mind, and while I have not had any leading out in particular concerning the matter, it is the only thing that I have now. And if the Lord is pleased to open the matter up to me and to you, I'm sure that we will be given to see some wonderful and glorious things in what Jesus said to his disciples, and of his grace and of his mercy unto us, Lord. It's utterly impossible, I'm sure that each one of you will agree with me, that it's utterly impossible for us to believe the truth as it is in Jesus, unless we have been born of the Spirit of God, unless we are of that number for whom our God sent his Son here into the world to redeem, and unless and until we have been born of the Spirit of God, we cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We're just like everybody else in the world, dead and trespassed and in sin, without God and without hope, as is said of the Gentiles, without God and without hope in this world. But then, all of those who were given by the Father unto his Son before the world began, God has also provided that he will send forth his Spirit into their hearts, that is, into the hearts of those that were given to Jesus or chosen in his Son before the world began, send forth his Spirit into their hearts and open up their understanding and reveal to them Jesus as their Savior and their only Savior. In doing this, he also brings them to such a quickened state that they are made to see themselves as they really are in the sight of God, which they don't know, have no way of knowing beforehand. But when God brings a person under conviction, and this is by his Spirit, he opens up to that person's understanding and knowledge and makes him feel, not just head knowledge, but there's a something in his very being that makes him to realize he's a poor, dead, hell-deserving sinner. And he doesn't know that before. That's the reason, if we will follow the thought a little bit, that's the reason today that there's so many people that are going all over the world and preaching creature righteousness, creature ability, and telling these who are dead in trespasses and without no quickening, and telling them that they can themselves do certain things whereby they can bring themselves into favor with God. But not the child of God, not after he's been brought to the knowledge of the truth, he no longer is able to find any joy and comfort in the things that he once found it in. I think the apostle asked the question, as well as answered the question, which is so fitting to the experience and to the feelings of the child of God. When it is said, you know, that some have said, and they still say, that if we believe that salvation is only by the grace of God without any of the works of the flesh, if that were true, well, why don't we just go ahead and sin all we want to and have a good time while we live? We're going to be saved anyhow, they'd say. But as a matter of fact, such people or such who talk that way don't know anything about the truth as it is in Jesus. Some that said, as the apostle said, let us sin that grace may abound. But the apostle answered the question, and you answer the same question in your feelings and in your experience. How can he that is dead to sin live any longer therein? Not dead in sin now, but dead to it, because of the working of the mighty power of God in the heart. You've been made dead to sin, whereas in days past and times past he was dead in sin and were without God and without hope in the world. But now there has been a quickening. If we are children of God, if we've been brought to this new birth, there has been a quickening. And we saw ourselves as dead sinners, condemned sinners in the sight of God. And while it is true, I think, in every case, in every experience, the experience of every child of God, when we first are brought to feel that, we began to try to work ourselves. And we think that we can refrain from doing certain things, and we could do other things that we feel would be pleasing in the sight of God. And I think that God, in his infinite wisdom and in his way of leading his people,
lets them go along in that way, trying to work out their own righteousness, trying to bring themselves into favor with their God, until the Lord's time for that individual. And I want to stress that I believe that there's a time, individual time, for each one of these people, because we remember that Solomon says there's a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to these things. There's a time. But when the time comes, the Lord leads his people to see themselves as totally dead and totally unable to do anything. And then it is that they find that they sing before this heaven, this Father, without any hope, without any prospects, without anything at all. And they feel like they're condemned sinners. Have you ever felt, my friends and brethren, have you ever felt, or did you feel in your experience, when you saw yourself as the vilest of the vile and lower down, really, than any worm that ever crawled in the dust of the earth? And did you not feel that you were not worthy, that the God of heaven, the only true and the living God, should look upon such a vile creature as you? Were you not ashamed to even think that God knew you just as you were? And surely, such as you were, he would not have any pity or compassion upon. But the amazing thing of it is, my brethren, that the Lord has led you all this time to bring you to that very place. And then, when you've been brought to the end of your strength, he reveals himself as your Savior. So that's the way it is. But now, after this time, the wonderful and glorious things when in the new birth or in the spiritual birth, being born of the Spirit of God, we see the kingdom of God for the first time. Now, there are a lot of people going all over the world, of course, and talking about the church, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But unless there has been a birth, being born of the Spirit, a spiritual birth, men may talk about the kingdom of God, they may talk about the church, and don't know a thing in the world about what they're talking about. Don't know a thing about it. But if they have been born of the Spirit, and then they see the kingdom of God, they see the beauty in the church or in the kingdom of God, and they long above everything else to be a part of it or a member of it. Yet there's something says, I'm not fit, I'm not worthy. And so many of us say, well, when we talk with those who we feel assured and we see this fruit of the Spirit in them, we hear them talk, and someone will mention to them about laying the case before the church, and they'll always say, well, I'm not fit, I'm not worthy. And they're not to themselves. But if they have seen the beauty in the church, if they rejoiced in the church, and they feel that I'm not worthy to be among them, that's the best sign in the world. That's the best evidence in the world that the person is fit for the church. But he that says, well, I'm just as good as anybody else. I remember an elder from down in Georgia, yes, around Atlanta, said that a lady came before one of his meetings down there and asked for membership. And about the first thing she said, if you just give me an opportunity, I'll just show you I'm just as good a Christian as any of you all are. Well, you may be sure that they didn't receive that person. But now if she'd come there, which all of those who are led to the Spirit of God come, and say, brethren, I love you, but I'm not fit to be with you. You would find a fellowship and a love that would come there, and they would, with open arms, receive that person. Because, my brethren, everyone who are true, and I say true because there are those who evidently in days past have crept in unaware, as we read, but those who are truly children of God, born of the Spirit of God, they come seeing the beauty in the church and afraid, yes, they're afraid that I will cause trouble in the church. But such a person is that afraid, he won't cause any trouble, because somehow he's kept by the power of God and he walks humbly, and he's not a braggart. He wants to stay in the background to some extent, but those who know not, they come in. The old saying is that fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Well, what about it? There were those also that followed Jesus when he was here, that evidently, from all the evidence that we gather from the scriptures and all the things that we're told plainly, there were many that followed Jesus out of curiosity. It has been expressed for the loaves and the fishes. And I think that's true. There was no deep-seated feeling in their hearts. They hadn't been really born with spirit, but they saw something in Jesus. And they saw something there that was different from other men. And from curiosity, they followed him. I can testify of that because I remember when I was just a young man, there was an old man who came into town. I don't know who he was or anything about him, but he was had a long beard. He was barefooted. The weather was rather cold, as I remember. He dressed very peculiar, and he would stand on the street corner and talk about something, and he had a horn, a trumpet, I think he called it, and he would say he was commanded to blow the trumpet in Israel. That's what he say he was commanded to do that. Well, I from curiosity, and that's what it was, nothing but curiosity, he said where he was going to preach. And I went to this place where he was going to preach, and I might have expected what I heard and saw. But it's not a thing in the world but just something to attract the attention of people and get people to follow him and these things. Well, I said this because that's the way a lot of so-called Christianity is. It's just from curiosity for the loaves and the fishes that they saw, and the miracles that Jesus performed. They didn't know the source of them, but they saw something peculiar about it. Well, these followed Jesus until Jesus began to talk about the deep and mysterious and wonderful things that were he was, and how that he came down from heaven, that he was the very bread from heaven, that as Moses gave Israel a manna from heaven, and they subsisted upon it according to the will and the purpose of God. But he said, now I am the true bread. He came down from heaven. And he said that is, it implies that is, as they ate the manna, they came down from heaven, so must my people eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now that was something that those who had been born of the Spirit understood. They knew what it meant. But these who had been following him only for the loaves and the fishes, and out of curiosity as I see it, they could not take it any longer. This was too much for them. Therefore, they turned away and went away from him and did not follow him anymore. But there were those of his disciples who still remained with him. And there's where the text came in, or the thought that I had this morning. When the others had turned and gone away from him, he said, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of his disciples, and notice that, many of his disciples turned away. And I cannot understand that they were real disciples, only from a curiosity standpoint. I do not believe that they were real disciples. At least they were not at that time. I don't know what the will of the Father was yesterday or tomorrow or next day. I don't know. But let us see what he says here. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye go away also? Are you going to leave me too? What was the answer? Peter, you know, Peter often was a spokesman for the brethren. It seemed that he just spoke for them. You know, another occasion when Jesus said, whom did ye say that I am? Peter is speaking for them all, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here Peter was speaking for them, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Wilt thou go away also? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the, we have nowhere else to go. Lord, if we turn away from you, to whom shall we go? because thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, my thought is this, my brethren, that it matters not how deep, mysterious, seemingly impossible, the doctrine of God our Savior is, how contrary it is to things in nature of men, and how it seems to be impossible for such to be true. And yet they that have been born of the Spirit of God, they believe implicitly, because they know that he that performed the miracles here in their sight, which no man could do, and that he that spoke so wonderfully, so graciously, they knew that he could do all things, and therefore they believed. They believed not only from that, but because of that witness within. You remember that Paul said upon one occasion, he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God hath the witness within himself. And he, that person that has a witness within himself, when Jesus makes a statement, however impossible it may seem, however contrary to all that men can conceive in their natural understanding, these things may be, they will say with Peter, the Lord's people will say to Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.